Welcome to the Connected Mom Podcast, where we have real conversations, helping you to connect more deeply with God, more intentionally with your child, and more empathically with your fellow moms. I'm Becky Harling, your host, and I have with me today my amazing co-host, Sarah Wildman. Hey, Sarah.
Hello. Hello. Oh, man. I'm so excited about this topic today. We are talking about decorating. And Becky had asked me earlier if it's something I love. And I'd say it is at times. It's funny how you can start in one style and then kind of move toward another one. And so I think my house is in a flux of different styles. I was really into shabby chic back in the day. I had a lot of friends that did that. And so I have like this funky table, but then my husband's into like mid-century modern. So we're a hot mess, really. So I'm excited to have some fun talking about how we can make our homes really reflect who we are, you know.
That's what I'm looking forward to, Sarah. You know, Steve and I were in ministry for years. So decorating your home meant, I mean, at one point I think pots and pans were donated to us, you know. I had one of my favorite pieces though, if I had a piece, was given to me by an older friend, and she had this Ethan Allen couch for like 40 years, and then she gave it to me, and I fell in love with that couch, and we had it here for years until about 3 years ago. My husband said, okay, we need to do something different. So I'm excited about today too. I love the concept of decorating. I love beauty and nice spaces, but I tend to doubt myself a lot in that area. So it's going to be so fun. So let me introduce our guest. Our guest is none other than Michaelyn Smith. Many of you probably have heard of her. She is a New York Times best-selling author, as well as a Wall Street Journal best-selling author. She has written Welcome Home and The Cozy Minimalist. And today we're going to be talking about her new book, called House Rules, which is made up of 100 different rules that you can kind of use in decorating. I'm just super excited to have her here. She also has a blog online, thenester.com. You can follow her on Instagram as The Nester. And I mean, I could just go on and on about you, Michaelyn, but I want to welcome you because we want to get into this. So welcome, Michaelyn.
Oh my gosh. What a fun crew you two are. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you, Becky. Thank you, Sarah, for having me.
Yeah, this is just going to be a blast, you know. And my first question for you is, do you want to come here and help me decorate my home?
I mean, I wish I could. And in the olden days, that's the only option, isn't it? I think the internet is wonderful because we all get to sit at home in our jammies and learn and make friends. And it's changed my life. I'm really grateful for
it. Yeah, me too. But in all seriousness, you have written several other books. And how is this one different?
Yeah, I've written 3 books and I thought, oh, I'm done. I wrote a book about how your circumstances don't have to be perfect in order for your house to be beautiful. I wrote that living in a rental. I wrote a book about the 5 phases of decorating. There's an ideal order to make your decorating decisions, really helpful. And then I wrote a book about hosting and decorating through the seasons. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've said all there is to say. And then I happened to meet a reader who has all 3 of my books. And she kind of came up really close to me and she said, I have all your books, but I actually haven't made any changes in my house because I just wasn't really born with a decorating gene. And y'all, I felt like I had completely failed her. What have I been doing with my life? Because if somehow I have insinuated that there is a decorating gene, because there is not. But I can really relate because I know, you know, in elementary school, do you remember on Mondays you would get the spelling words? And then every Friday you would get that spelling test. I used to dread Fridays because that was final spelling test day and I never did good. I always thought that, I don't know why, I thought the spelling test was a test on what you either knew it or you didn't. And so they were testing you on if you basically were born knowing how to spell. And I didn't. It wasn't until a teacher kind of took me under her wing and was like, no, you're supposed to study these spelling words. You can take them home. Like a whole epiphany opened up to me. And I think that's how sometimes we treat decorating. We assume that people were born with the decorating gene, or someone called it a decorating thumb, which I thought was hysterical.
Yeah, it's kind of like
gardening. A green thumb.
Right. But, you know,
or a black thumb.
Right. Or, you know, a pattern thumb, whatever it is. But I think there are just some people who are really passionate about different topics. And I am one of those people who loved home. Like when I used to play Barbies, I was not making up fun stories. No one was running away with a dramatic ending. I was playing with furniture. And so I got to kind of practice decorating in my bedroom growing up, in my mom's living room when she would go away for the weekend. I would surprise my parents. I got to make all kinds of mistakes and learn from them at a really young age. And so I think people like us, it can seem like maybe we were born with something, but the truth is we were not. Just like spelling, decorating is a skill that you can learn. And just like, you know, you learn little things like I before E, except after C. And if you're writing an Instagram post or a birthday card to your grandmother, that rule still applies when you spell. And it's the same with decorating. There are some universal decorating truths that it doesn't matter what your style is. It doesn't matter what your budget is. It doesn't matter what kind of house you have. These rules still apply and can help you make confident decorating decisions. So that's what this house rules book is. It's 100, like some are weird and quirky and some rhyme, but I tried to make them very memorable, 100% applicable. You can open the book to any page. You're going to see a rule like contrast is queen if you want to be seen. You're going to see a photo of it. I'm going to explain it really quickly, and then you can get up and put a different color vase on your mantle and suddenly feel like it looks right.
So what would you say for people that are like, oh no, you know, certain people do have that decorating gene. What is it you think that people get right that maybe we are prone to go, yeah, their style's totally more together?
I think that we were all created with a natural feel of balance in relationship. If you've ever looked at maybe, let's just say someone, you're at someone's house, they have a dresser against the wall, and if they have a little teeny tiny 2-inch piece of art, there is not one of us who would feel like maybe a bigger piece of art would feel more balanced, because the truth is everything in our rooms are in a relationship together. And, you know, you could call it the golden triangle, or you can go back in time and look at like historical or art books. They're going to talk about like the golden triangle or this natural ratio of balance, and how photographers and artists, and even when they made the pyramids, that is innate. We were created with that sense of balance. So I think we all naturally know when something feels off. We just don't all know exactly what to do with that something that feels off.
For sure. Okay. So since this is my particular problem, as far as self-doubt in decorating, I mean, what would you say to me, right?
Yes. Well, I would say to start small. And we always, you know, I think something decorating sometimes gets a bad rap because it can feel like, oh, it's just going to make me think about the mistakes I made or what's lacking. I think that's the worst place to start. No, no, no. When we think about decorating our homes, first of all, I've never met anyone. I've been doing this like 20 years. No one's like, can you help me create a beautiful home so I can show off and be the envy of all my friends and family? No, none of us want to do that. We just want to have a prettier home that feels more like us, that we can come home to and feel at home, that we can relax, that we can raise our hand and volunteer to host the community group or the baby shower or whatever it is without being so distracted by our unfinished rooms. We don't want to look around and hate our sofa so much that we can't concentrate on the conversation we're trying to have with our friends. That's where most of us are, and that's exactly what I can help everyone with. But it starts with just paying attention to what you do have and kind of reminding yourself, what was it that you loved about your home or your space? Even, you know, whether you're renting or not, I believe that every home has a silver lining. Every room has a redeemable quality. And I think that is a wonderful place to start. It's just maybe naming one or two things that you love about the space.
I love that. That's so good.
That's really helpful. Yes. So I know that you've moved a bunch of times. And I think a lot of us have that experience where, you know, maybe it was apartment life for a while and then a house, or maybe you're not in a house and you wish you were. But how do these house rules that you've written about apply to every home we're in.
They really do, because I mean, I had a lot of experience. We've moved 15 times. This is the fourth home that we have owned. Yeah. So we've lived in, you know, a little house behind the main house that was once a garage and now it's turned into a house. We've lived in mansions that were for sale and someone had pity on the new Bible teacher at the school and let us live there until it sold. You know, just all different scenarios, which at the time I cursed, I hated, I couldn't remember my zip code. I just wanted to settle down. But now I look back and I'm like, oh my goodness, that was the best education I could have had in what I'm doing now, which is my dream job. I get to talk about home all the time. But in the same way that, you know, with that spelling, I before E except after C applies across the board, even if you're mid-century modern, even if you're eclectic, like Sarah, you were saying with you and your husband, no matter what that is, there are little decorating truths or rules that can help us kind of give us confidence when we're at Home Goods trying to decide. So let's talk about the house rule that I mentioned earlier. One is contrast is queen if you want to be seen. So let's say you have, let's say you're renting, your room is white. You have a white sideboard in your dining room. You have white walls. So maybe you have a mirror above that and you're looking for a lamp. You need some lighting in there, which I think is a great order. You want to get your seating, your surfaces, and your storage in. And then I always think about, I call it the homey trinity, your rugs, your drapes, and your lighting. Again, any style. This applies to any style. If you like a certain type of style, you're going to get a different rug. But, you know, your seating and where it's placed in your home actually informs the size rug and where it's going to be placed in your room. So there's an order of decor. But when you are, let's say you're in your white room and you say, oh, I need a lamp. Where do you begin? There's a 10 zillion lamps out there in the world. Well, if you know the house rule that contrast is queen, if you want to be seen, most of the time when we are making decorating decisions, we want to make a visual impact with what we are, you know, we don't want to buy something invisible that's going to go away. There are times that we do want to do that. So that means if you have a white room with a white dresser and a mirror reflecting your white room, maybe when you go look for that lamp, you're going to look for a lamp with contrast, because contrast is queen if you want to be seen. This transcends the trends. This transcends style. This is just, oh, you want to see the item that you're choosing. Let's have our functional decor kind of play a double role and not get a, you know, a invisible lamp that's like all glass, see-through. Let's get something that has maybe some scale, which is another house rule, nail that scale. Let's get something that has visual presence. And so maybe it's going to contrast. And it's the opposite. Like if your room were really dark, like a moody, inky blue, and you had maybe a dark wood dresser, you might do the opposite. You might get a lamp that's white or really bright so that it provides contrast so that you can actually make a visual impact with it. And it counts as decor.
I love all of this so much, Michaelyn. Okay. So a lot of our moms that are listening, it's like I can hear them thinking right now while we're all on here. And they're thinking, I'm raising kids. I don't have a lot of money. You know, I can't go shop at Ethan Allen or someplace like that. You know, I can't get anything high end. What do you say to people that are really on a budget? Where do they start? What do they do?
Yes. Well, the thing is, most people are on a budget. Hardly anyone has unlimited resources. And there are so many ways. Right now, today, I'm so jealous of just the fact that we have Facebook Marketplace. You know, I've been in the place where not really having a sofa budget and just feeling stuck with my sofa, because 30 years ago, there was, you just either took it to the dump or you lived with it. But now, if you have a sofa you don't like, you can take a picture of it and sell it for $150 on Facebook Marketplace. And then tomorrow, you can buy another sofa for $150 on Facebook Marketplace. Now, that does take time. That does take patience. And, you know, if you're raising littles, you might just say, well, we're just going to keep our sofa for now, which I think is 100% a great idea. I think we underestimate the power of small changes in our home, the power of just adding a plant to our room, or just brightening it up with a lamp, or just putting down the right size rug. everything has a cost, but the cost of everything is not a lot of money. It might just cost your creativity. It might cost stepping out of your comfort zone and taking a little bit of risk. So, you know, in the house rule books, the house rules book, we have it separated into three different, it's not really chapters, it's just kind of parts. And one is do what you know, use what you have is the next part, and finish what you started. And none of those are go to the furniture store and spend all of your money. Like, it's just not about that. That is what they do on HGTV. And it is one way to make meaningful change in your home. But there are so many other ways that you can make real change. And for most of us, we don't need everything to be new in our room to feel better about it, for it to feel fresh and comforting for us. You can make a couple of 5-minute, 10-minute changes, maybe style your mantle, make some DIY art, maybe hang some different drapes that you found on Amazon, and ta-da, your home feels just like you.
I love that.
That's really encouraging. Yes. So you write that decorating starts in your head. That's very interesting to me. I think in my head, I have all these great plans that I'll do someday, right? But that's my head journey. But what do you mean by decorating starts in your head?
I think we can feel like decorating must start in the furniture store. Like, oh, we need more seating. I guess I need to go to the local furniture store. But that is not actually it at all. Decorating actually starts with just paying attention. And I know it can sound a little bit woo-woo, but I think our rooms kind of communicate with us. So the fact that you're familiar, say you do need more seating, the fact that you know that, well, how do you know you need more seating? Well, your kids are sitting on the floor. Or when you have neighbors come over, you're pushing the dining room chairs. So just things like that of paying attention to what you're moving around in your room, what your family is moving around, or what maybe people are complaining about in your family or the people that live in your home, what always is in the way, or if there are, you know, the backpacks are always on the floor. It doesn't mean you have to add on to your house and build a mudroom. I know in our last house, it was really small. We have 3 boys in 3.5 years, so they're very close together. And they all had, you know, that middle school, high school age where their backpacks are like 3 feet wide and they weigh 50 pounds. But yeah, my kids want to do their homework at the kitchen table. And we just had this tiny little house. And it ended up that we had a love seat right smack in front of our fireplace, like touching the hearth. That was just the best place for it for a couple of years. We didn't have this cool mudroom where everyone had their dedicated, you know, little cubby, which would have been amazing. If you have that, I'm so happy for you. I think it's wonderful. We did not, but my kids needed access to their backpacks. And so the solution, I didn't want them to just drop their backpack in the middle of the floor under the kitchen table. So everyone's backpacks just belonged between the fireplace and the love seat. Hidden from view, but super accessible. And that worked for us for a couple of years. Just finding those simple solutions that get you function, but also get us the simplicity and, you know, the beauty and that calm look that we as moms crave.
Yeah, that is actually what we all crave, I think. So some of your rules are so much fun for me to look through. So talk to us a little. One of my favorite one is remember the Sabbath and keep it homey. So what do you mean by that?
Well, let me explain. I call myself a cozy minimalist. And that means that, you know, I'm not a card-carrying minimalist. I want to get the most amount of style with the least amount of stuff. I love beautiful things. I love tchotchkes. I love, you know, mementos and art. But I have found when my surfaces have a lot of stuff on them, I'm not good at keeping my house clean. And then it gets in the way of like folding laundry and puzzle doing and the cat snapping. And so I feel like in the past, we've kind of felt like we have to choose a side, like our house is either a crazy maximalist mess or we're a full-fledged minimalist and we have no decor. But there is room for those of us somewhere in the middle who love some simplicity, but also love beauty. So the remember the Sabbath and keep it homey is about allowing yourself to have some areas that are empty, to have some walls that maybe don't have wall art, to have some surfaces. I like to just kind of deem that the hardest working surfaces in my house do not have to be decorated all the time. Now, I am a design teacher and I write books. And so in my books, a lot of times I do style, for example, my coffee table for a book or if a magazine is coming. But I want to tell you, in my everyday life, like right now, my coffee table in my family room is, it's like the workhorse of my family room. It is there so that, like, just the other day, my passport expired. So I'm like, I have all my passport stuff on the coffee table. That's where our cat takes a nap. If we have pizza, you know, Friday night, that's where the pizza and the drinks and the popcorn and everything is. That surface does not have dedicated decor on it because it's there to serve our family. It's the same with our kitchen island. I don't have a lot of decor on it because it's got to be like ready to be destroyed
right
every day. And then I have other places that, you know, like our mantle of our fireplace, that's not really a hardworking functional service. It's just more there to look pretty. So the remember the Sabbath and keep it homey is just a cutesy, dumb way to remind ourselves that just because space exists doesn't mean that everything has to be filled with beautiful decor. We're allowed to have some empty space in our life and in our home.
Okay, one more question before I let Sarah ask another question. Another one of your rules is you can't ruin something you already hate. And I kind of love that one too. Tell us about that one.
I love that one too. I'm so glad that you asked about that one. It's one of my favorites. You know, I think for someone maybe who is a beginner, or maybe if you've had a bad experience, if you've chosen a paint color and kind of put your blood, sweat, and tears in, and then you secretly hate it, considering the fact that you can't ruin something you already hate is a really great way to baby step your way into having more confidence. So let's say that your next door neighbor has painted her family room a beautiful color blue and you love it. And you think, oh my gosh, my bedroom would look so good that color. Well, instead of, you know, hiring the painters or getting your husband to take the whole weekend to help you paint the bedroom, maybe just find a canvas that you were getting ready to take to the Goodwill. Or maybe you buy a $5 canvas from the Goodwill. Or maybe you have a piece of furniture, a little table in your garage that you haven't used in a while. Something that you don't love. Something that you would give away, something that maybe you already hate. And you say, well, I'm going to practice and learn my confidence maybe with that color on this piece, on this canvas. And so you just can take confidence in the fact that you can't ruin something that you already hate. Practice on that, build your confidence. If you like the color, maybe you paint something bigger. Maybe you go to your walls. But I think we feel like everyone is making these big romantic gestures in their home, making these big, bold choices. But for most people, they have baby stepped their way into making more confident choices. And most people that make really confident design choices, it came out of making a lot of wrong decisions and not letting that get them down. But changing it and saying, okay, I painted the room the wrong color. I'll paint it a wrong color again. It's just a gallon of paint and a weekend. I have rooms that I have painted 5 and 6 different colors. Even this room in my house, my office that I spend some of the most amount of time in. We moved here a year and a half ago. I had it painted, or I think me and my kids actually painted it and I didn't like it. And then I painted a completely different color. Like that's, I think there's just two types of people. Some people that stops them and gets them down. And then the other kind of people are like, oh, well, we'll just try again. And that's what I want you to be in your home. If you can't take a risk in your home, how in the world are you going to be able to take a risk to take that job or, you know, to apply for that position or to move across the country? I think it's so healthy for our kids to see us taking a risk at home. And then if it doesn't work out right, which sometimes it's not, that happens to everyone, to be like, it's okay. It's just a wall. It's just a nail hole. It's just a piece of furniture I already hated. Let's try again.
So much grace in that. I love that. Okay, so I loved your example when you talked about the backpacks, like you didn't have a true mudroom, so you made use. So thinking about moms, like maybe preschool moms, elementary school kiddo moms, what is maybe a challenging space that you saw but were able to bring to life with some decorating tips? I'll give you a second because I know I'm throwing this out of nowhere, but a challenging space, but that you ended up using some of your rules and turned out really good. I know, I'm putting her on the spot.
I mean, I use the rules in so many spaces and I am not in the preschool age, so I can't speak connected directly to that, but I can tell you something that was, when we moved to my most recent house, we had thought that when we moved here, we were going to be able to, for the first time ever in our lives, redo the kitchen, like really redo the kitchen, like a grown up, which we have never done before. And it was right after COVID, there were appliance shortages. And the first thing that our kitchen designer was like, I got to hire a kitchen designer. Oh my gosh. First thing she told us to do was to order our appliances. So I'm like, this is the first time in my life I finally get to do this. I've arrived. The kitchen appliances are all a year and a half out. We cannot get kitchen appliances. And I had to take pictures for this book. So I knew, and I am a person who likes to cook. I didn't want to wait a year and a half for my kitchen. And so I was a disaster for about 20 minutes until my husband said, well, I know that you don't want to keep the kitchen as it is. It's pretty dated. I had to take pictures for this book. Not everyone has a book, but we all have things that we want to have a room or something finished for. I was looking at it really black and white, like, well, I either have to redo everything in this kitchen or I have to not use the kitchen at all until it's done. And my husband was like, well, what's the third way? And I think just having someone ask me that and say, what could we do? What are our options? Again, because so many times we think about all the things that we do not have access to. I don't have the money. I don't have the control. If I'm renting, I don't have the skills. I'm not a DIYer. See those girls with their chainsaws and their building cabinets. I know when my boys were young, like I wasn't painting walls. Like I had 20 minutes. What can I change? And the thing was, if I wanted change, I had to decide that it was worth it to me to pay attention to what I could change and believe that the change was worth it. And I think the mindset, you know, mindset is such a big part of decorating. And thinking that we just have to wait until we have perfect circumstances is probably the thing that holds us back the most, more than having the budget, having the designer you can hire, any of those things. Believing that the small, incremental, limited changes that you can have in your certain limited, imperfect circumstances, if I could communicate one thing, it is that you can make change with small changes. Doesn't quite roll off the tongue, but that is what I've learned. And what I've learned is, there's a quote by Henri Matisse who says, much of the beauty that arises in art comes from the struggle that the artist wages with his limited medium. Sounds like a big bunch of hubbub. But really, when we apply that to our home, it's like those surprisingly beautiful things come out of the fact that we have to face our imperfect circumstances. And the fact that we decided to try something anyway, even without all the time, all the money, all the resources, but we moved forward. And that's where the true beauty happens. That's what I want to say.
I love the way you said that. Now, okay, we're almost out of time, but I have so many questions. So
I know.
I want to know, have you ever decorated one of your homes? You've moved 15 times. So did you ever get something to where you really loved it, you really felt at home, and then you didn't want to leave it?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be hard. So how did you handle that?
I cried. I told God off. I threw little tantrums. And then I finally realized that home is wherever me and my husband and our kids were. And decided that I could either throw a big fit and be unhappy and keep waiting on our next house while my kids' childhood passed, or I could decide if I want my kids to have fond memories, they don't care whose name is on the mortgage. They don't care that we moved. We moved quite a bit in their childhood. If I could have a good attitude and if I could make home a memorable place by adding little cozifiers, by putting the red books out on Valentine's Day, then they are going to have positive memories of their childhood homes.
Mm-hmm. That's that. I think that that is really important for our listeners to hear, you know, because I know we moved a lot too. And sometimes you get so attached to a place and then it's like, oh, I don't want to leave this place. It has felt like home for so many years, you know, or for even just a few years. So it's interesting because no matter where we're at in that, either getting ready to take a risk or getting ready to leave something that we took a risk on, we really need the Lord in that process, you know. And I know that you have really leaned into that in your own life, Michael. And is there a favorite verse that you think of when you think of decorating?
I wish I had a great answer for this, but I don't. I do believe that, you know, we're made in the image of God. Yeah. And I think for maybe when I first started online, there was a little bit of this guilty under like, oh, you want to, you're not happy with your home. You're, you know, you're so ill content. What is it? And I don't, I love that we've kind of turned from that. And it's more of we're created beings. We enjoy beauty. And that is the way that we were created, and to embrace that. And I'm just so grateful for that.
Yeah, I am too. And I agree with you. We were created in the image of a creative God, and we were created to really love beauty. And I believe it brings calmness to our souls. And so this has been just a wonderful interview, Michaelyn. Where can our-
It flew by.
It really did. I can't believe the time is up. But where can our listeners, number one, get your book? And number two, you know, follow your blog, follow you on Instagram, all that kind of stuff. Give us the info.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, I talk about home all the time. I believe every home has a silver lining. And so you can find me online at thenester.com, on Instagram at thenester. And my book is available wherever books are sold starting April 23rd. We even made a companion free gift if you pre-order. I brought a camera crew to my current house. So it's a 1905 Queen Anne Victorian. We go through every room and I talk about the house rules that helped me actually make the decisions in my house. So it's really fun kind of behind the scenes.
I love that so much. And you have been such a fun guest. So I thank you for being that. I'm going to just, we're going to say goodbye to our listeners because we have to, the time is up. And I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you, Michael. And can I do that for you?
Thank you. So much. Oh my goodness. I would be honored.
Yeah. So Lord Jesus, you see Michaelyn and you see her family and her husband and all that you've done in and through her. And I just want to bless her today for blessing our listeners. So would you just pour out blessing on her, pour out blessing on this book, Lord, help it to sell far beyond anything she can imagine. And Lord, I just praise you that in each place she's lived, she's been able to create a home. And I pray now that you would encourage our listeners to really take this and to run with it in their homes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, Becky. That was gorgeous.
You are welcome. And so listeners, thanks for joining us today on the Connected Mom podcast. And we hope you're going to join us again next week. Today's episode was so much fun. I really want to challenge you to share it with all of your friends, because if you're worried about decorating, I'm guessing your neighbors are, your relatives, your friends. So let's help get the message out so that we can make Hey, all you moms out there, this is Becky Harling, and I love creating resources to help you connect more empathically with your child. One of those resources is a book that I wrote called How to Listen So Your Kids Will Talk. One of the greatest skills you can cultivate, really enhance that connection with your child, is the skill of listening. So how well do you really listen? This book is loaded with practical ideas to get your kids talking and to help you as you listen. You can buy it wherever Christian books are sold. sold. You can order it on Amazon or anywhere else. So I hope you'll get a copy of the book and put the work into listening to your child.